We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot. I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot. You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to Springsteen.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama is.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
All right, it's a Tuesday on the Hawkman and Crowder Show featuring Channing Crowder, no Mark Hockman, Solana here in Dallas still from SEC Media Days. Appel is with us, Dan Day is with us, and Jimmy is here as well. What's up, everybody?
What's up, Solana?
Hello. It's like we orchestrated that. That was weird.
We should all talk at once at the same time for 4 hours today.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yes! Great!
That would be good. That would be good. So I'm live at SEC Media Days, part of our Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy Sports Grill. Day two is when it's happening. I sat down with Kirby Smart, gentlemen. I embarrassed myself a little bit in front of Coach Kirby, but Crowder, Kirby Smart, when I brought up your name, let's just say he chuckled a little bit. He chuckled. And we're going to play. So the plan is, Crowder and I are both off Thursday, Friday, and Hawk is off the entire week. He won't be back till Monday. I think we'll all be back Monday. But Appel's going to be here Thursday, and the plan is to play all of these interviews on Thursday. Appel's going to toss to them. He'll have some guests for you as well, but that's the plan. So you'll hear it on Thursday. But Crowder, I mentioned your name, and he's like, yeah. Watching him interact with Saban was something.
It was the weirdest thing. Now Kirby Smart's a damn, two-time, three-time national championship head coach. Like, he knows what he's doing. When he was with the Dolphins, he came in with Saban as, like, the assistant to the assistant safety coordinator.
Yeah, he's a safety coordinator, yeah.
He was the lowest end of the totem pole. So, like, he was scared to death to be in the building. I didn't know I was supposed to be scared to be in the building, so I was just, hey, coach, what up, Nick, you good, bro? And he'd be like, oh, how are you speaking to him in that manner? Like, yeah, coach, you good. Kirby got cussed out a lot because, man, that was Lance Schulters. That was T-Buck. JT was still in his prime when he was a butt wipe cussing everybody out. Kirby took some tongue lashings when he was a Dolphin coach now.
It's crazy because he's kind of like the guy around here now, you know? Like, it was Nick Saban forever, right? And then, I mean, Nick Saban can't even get in here now. I mean, they're asking him for credentials. Kirby Smart, you know, I was thinking about it. He's kind of the new Nick Saban, is he not? Like, I think the expectations are for him to have that same trajectory where if he wanted to, Crowder, I'm sure he could leave. He could go to the NFL. He could have any job he wants. But he could probably just stay at Georgia and win a couple more natties if he wanted to.
I wonder, because he came from LSU with Saban.
Right.
So he saw a legend leave college, go to the NFL, pretty much fail and run back to college. I wonder if that will affect, because he's going to get an offer. Somebody in the NFL is going to be like, damn, this Kirby Smart knows what he's doing. I wonder if him watching Saban fail would scare him a little bit from going. But I tell you, man, Saban saw. Them grown men are different now. It's different to coach a 35-year-old than an 18-year-old.
And don't forget, he was Saban's defensive coordinator for a while at Alabama, too. Won a couple of national championships in that role, too. Yeah, he's definitely the king in the SEC now without Saban. I mean, I guess like Brian Kelly is in that conversation, but he hasn't won anything yet. But I'm trying to like rack my brain. It's definitely not Billy Napier. Sorry, Crowder. I just don't know. I know the guy at Mizzou is trying to kind of raise his own stature. He likes to talk a lot. Eli Drinkwitz, Stoops at Kentucky. Like, there are some good coaches in this league, but Kirby's the guy that's going to try and fill that Saban void, if that's even possible.
Yeah, and I was watching because SEC Media Day, you know, it's all over ESPN.
Yeah.
So to your point, it was like the odds of winning the SEC, Georgia was like 48%. Alabama was like 13, Missouri and somebody else were like 9 and 6. Like, yeah, Georgia's the big dog. Not just in SEC, Georgia's the big dog nationally. Everybody's chasing Georgia like Saban had at Alabama.
Hey, Crowder, what's crazy too is even up to last year where it was a 4-team college football playoff, I know Alabama ends up making the national title game despite not going undefeated. Like, I know you could, with the implementation of the college football playoff being 4 teams, you could potentially lose 2 games, potentially, and still, because of your strength of schedule, make it to the final 4 teams. Now with 12 teams, like, the way the SEC looks right now with Texas and Oklahoma, like, the schedules are ridiculous. If you're Alabama, if you're Georgia, like, what the teams you're playing are ridiculous throughout the entire season, but you could lose 2, 3, I mean, man, maybe 4 games, maybe, just depending on what everybody else. I know it sounds crazy, Crowder, but think about it. Like, when you look at what all the other teams in the SEC are doing, like, being a 3-loss team out of the SEC might carry more cachet than being a 1-loss team out of the ACC. Unless you're FSU or Clemson, it might carry more cachet than being a 1 or an undefeated team out of, you know, the Big 12 or the Big 10. So, like, you, if you're Georgia, you could have, like, a quote-unquote off year, lose 3 games, still be 10, 11, or 12 in that college football playoff as voted on by the committee, and then you get hot at the right time. Like, it's really going to change the way that college football looks in the final month or two of the season.
People say it devalues the regular season. I don't buy that at all. I think it probably makes it a little more valuable, given that it's more teams have a chance to sneak into the back there. And I'll say this too. You mentioned the scenario of Georgia being a later seed because of, you know, they get in with 3 losses. Now they're going to play on the road at one of these schools. And if you're one of the, if you're that home team that's getting a 3-loss Georgia team,
it'll be ugly. And
yeah.
Let's be honest, fellas.
Man, it's going to be
who wins the ACC, who wins the Big Ten, who wins the Pac-12, and 9 SEC teams.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what, like, it's going to be.
Yeah, because if your schedule, I haven't looked at the schedules, but yeah, NUM, oh, FIU too is going to sneak in. I saw Dennis Dodd. I was so tempted to just go, like, talk to him about Coach Mack from FIU until I just pissed him off and he runs away. I was so tempted.
Did you apologize?
No, I didn't. I ignored him. Or he ignored me, I guess would be the right way to look at it.
He definitely ignored you.
Yeah. Solana, you can't hear us during breaks because you're virtual, whatever, or you're in a different state, different feed. Dennis Dodd did not enjoy that interview yesterday. He hates us.
No, yeah, he does not like us.
Okay. I didn't know if you read the room right, but he did not enjoy that 15 minutes.
No, he did not. He did not. I'm just looking at Georgia's schedule, right, just for the sake of it. So they open up the season with Clemson, big game. Then they have a cupcake Tennessee Tech. Then they play Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Texas, Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and then they end the season with UMass and Georgia Tech. So what is that? 9 of their 12 games are against either SEC teams or a Clemson team that is going to have national championship aspirations. Like, bro, I mean, any year, right, Crowder? Again, I don't know 100%. Maybe I should because I'm at SEC Media Days, but Kentucky, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, any of those teams could be really good this year. And then, you know, the obvious ones, Alabama, Texas, Florida, like, those are teams you expect to be good. You're playing 9 of your 12 games against teams that have title aspirations or college football playoff aspirations. I mean, it's going to end up being like 6 to 7 SEC schools at least in the college football playoff this year.
And to you just to Josh's point, what you just said, it's going to make the regular season extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Because Georgia, somebody knocks off Georgia middle of the season. Somebody gets lucky. Oh, this Georgia Tech game means nothing. Oh, yes, this Georgia Tech game means something. Mm-hmm. Because if you lose to an unranked Georgia Tech last game of the season, now you're going from 4 to maybe 12 or something like that because they're unranked. No, it makes the regular season better. You joke, and I've embraced it. Florida, we would schedule 3 teams that couldn't beat American Heritage. And we go out and beat them 73-3, and we'd be happy and get all our stats up. And then we have to go play 5 SEC. We have to play the East. You'll play the 5 in the East. You'll pick 1 or 2 out of the West, and you're good to go. Now they are loading the schedule. Oh, yeah, down week, yeah, Oklahoma. Oh, down week, Clemson. Nah, Jack, go play ball. I like it. And it might be to the detriment of Florida right now because we're not that good. But when you're good in the SEC, whoever the hell comes out of that Big Ten or Pac-12, they're not going to want to play them.
Yeah, well, the Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore.
Well, see, what's the one in the West?
It's gone.
Big 12. The Big 12? Is that what you're
Big 12. So it's the Big 12, Big 10, SEC, ACC, right?
Right. And Conference then, USA.
And
the American.
We're talking about that?
I mean, can we call it the Pac-2? Because there's only 2 teams?
That's one of those 2. That's you, Jim, you hit it on the head. They're going to run through the Big 12, whatever the hell that thing is called in the West, where no teams play football and they have a ballerina dance around the field for 4 quarters. Big 10, ACC, SEC, 9 teams.
I like it, though, man. Like, give me more meaningful games. Give me more games with stakes on the line rather than what ended up, you know, being the case last year, which was controversy over who should be the top 4 teams, Michigan, and should it be Alabama, should it be Georgia. FSU obviously felt like they got screwed. Like, I know we're going to have the same kind of situation with the last, 2 to 3 teams getting in to the college football playoff, but you're going to have a quarterfinal, a semifinal, you're going to have, you might have like a round of 16, right? Because the top 4 teams are going to get a bye, I guess. I haven't even looked at the way it works, but is that how it works, Appel?
I'm telling you this. If number 13 argues, whoever argues, I'm smacking them in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it. It's 12 teams.
It's 12 teams. It's 12 teams, and then I think the 8 will play, and then the first four will.
First 4 will get a bye.
Lowest seed. Want to play the lowest seed that comes out of that 8.
Right, right. All right, so we'll continue talking about it. We may or may not get somebody to come on here like we did yesterday. We had Dennis Dodd come by. I taped a ton of interviews. I've been here since like 9 a.m. our time, so 8 a.m. your time. Dennis Dodd, he's got to hate us, man.
I'm going to re-air that on Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. So we may or may not just, you know, somebody that happens. Brett McMurphy apparently might have some time to join us later. We'll talk a little bit more college football. There's not too much going on in the world of sports, but I do want to get headlines with Dan Day. And while we do that, Crowder, why don't you check if your microphone is connected? Because I don't think it is. Just double check that for us for a second. Headlines with Daniel Day. Again, Jimmy and Dan Day back in the studio.
These headlines are brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your car at a truck? Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Teoscar Hernandez became the first Dodger to ever win the Home Run Derby last night.
Anybody watch the Home Run Derby?
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody saw what everybody saw on social media.
Yeah, I know. That's what everybody wants to talk about. I know. So there is an update.
Was she singing? Was that English?
So there's an update. There's an update on this. If you didn't watch, I mean, by now, everybody's either seen the video, heard the audio. I'm sure we could play it later on if we wanted to. I don't want to sit through it again. But the girl who sang the national anthem yesterday, her name was Ingrid Andress. And I had never heard of her. Truthfully, I have no idea who she is. Apparently, she's a country music star, like rising country music star. She has a decent social media following. I think I saw like 150,000 or something in that ballpark. And it was just a disaster. She messed up a word at the very beginning where she forgot the word, and then it just spiraled downhill from there. And she's trying to hit notes that she clearly could not hit. And it was a disaster. They had to stop showing the players on
Alec
TV.
Alec Baldwin was laughing hysterically.
Right, because they were all cracking up. Like, they had to stop doing it, so they just panned out to, like, a ballpark view and like, the flag waving in the background. It was a disaster. Here's the update, though. She posted immediately. I saw that yesterday. I saw it live. I went to her Instagram to, A, find out who this girl is, and, B, see what people were saying, because I'm an absolute sucker for just people's comments getting torched the second they go viral. And when I'm telling you right now, within 2 minutes of that national anthem ending, her comments had been taken down. You couldn't comment anymore on her Instagram page. Like, they knew, right? Like, whoever her social media manager is knew, this is going to be bad. All her stories of her, like, promoting that she's singing the national anthem, deleted. I mean, it was just damage control. So here's the update she posted on Instagram and her Twitter. I'm not going to BS y'all. Let me make sure this is really her. So I'm not getting
it. Is.
Right, I'm
that,
not getting screwed. Okay.
That is her.
I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to Major League Baseball, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO Ingrid.
I mean, that's a heady play.
Yeah.
So
now she has a problem. Now we have to be sympathetic. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, reading that, I'm laughing because in my head, I'm like, okay, heady play here by her team. Just say you were drunk, say you have an alcohol problem, and you got to go check yourself into rehab. But, I mean, she could. Like, I don't want to laugh at somebody who's going
right
through alcoholism.
Right.
Like, that is a real thing, and maybe she does suffer from it. But my initial reaction was, heady play. There you go. Check yourself into rehab, and you might have a shot at saving your career.
My first thought was, we can't make fun of this anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm not going to lie, I read it different than y'all read it. I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night.
Yeah, man. That was...
Oh, you mean you actually read it differently?
Yeah, I read it like she was drunk. I was like, okay, I know how she...
Yeah.
But no,
I mean...
Like, there was somebody that said, Ingrid, you're up in a minute. And they look at her. You could tell. Like, somebody should have saw her and said, she probably shouldn't go out here on this little pedestal.
But what's she going to... Like, what are you going to do? Sorry.
Play it over this loudspeaker.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a backtrack that's already recorded, and they just say, you're drunk, you can't go on, sing, just lip sync. Plus, does alcohol affect your singing voice that much?
Right, well, that's the thing, like...
yes?
She didn't sound drunk to me. She sounded like somebody trying to hit notes she's not capable of hitting without being in a recording studio with, you know, the help of a recording studio.
Yes. Yeah, Nate, don't you do some sort of like karaoke MC type thing, trivia? Like, isn't that not what like late night at a karaoke bar would sound like? Isn't that how drunk people sound when they sing?
Yeah, but professional people don't get up and sing karaoke and do things like that. Mm. She's probably done it 1,000 times if she's an alcoholic, so she should be used to singing drunk. Why was last night different? Or is she just that terrible live in person?
Maybe a little both.
But there's so many layers to this, because if you know you're not a good singer, like if you can't hit the note she's trying to hit, you don't get in front. This had to have been her biggest performance ever, right? She's on national TV, home run derby.
She's won a couple Grammys, but that's beside the point.
Oh, has she?
I think so.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't I'm coming at this totally from like somebody who doesn't know her. So maybe, you know, maybe she is a very accomplished singer, and I would have to like text Dina B and TC from Kiss Country and find out a little bit more about this.
I love Dan's take. It's like Denzel on Flight, where he was drunk flying the plane so much, he was just good at flying the plane drunk.
Yeah, that's how you do it. It's your comfort zone.
I love Dan.
It's like, please don't blame the alcohol here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to defend alcohol here, but punching bag
100 times.
Yeah,
Dan Day something.
All right, we'll talk more about that. I just texted TC from our morning show, Because she's a country singer. So I just texted her. I just texted him to find out, like, is she an accomplished singer? And we'll break this down a little bit more. If you know, she truly is going through some sort of issue with alcohol, I hope she gets the help that she clearly needs. But I'm not going to lie. I saw that post, and my first reaction was like, okay, smart move. Smart move there. And if you can't hit those notes, why not just record it and then lip sync, right? And if you are struggling and you get nervous, I could see how just nerves overall are what made her sing poorly. I could see that. It's not totally out of the question, but she didn't sound like somebody who was drunk to me last night.
Man, she's got some awards, though. She's got some platinum songs, two-time platinum songs.
So TC just got back to me. He says, I asked him, is Ingrid Andress known? Like, is she an accomplished singer? He said, not really. She had two kind of hits, one with Sam Hunt.
She won a BMI Country Award, one Breakthrough Artist of the Year at the Music Row Awards. Okay, so nothing crazy. Nashville Songwriters Award. She's been nominated for some big-time stuff, but...
Yeah, yeah. I got more followers than her, Solana. She's a huge following.
Yeah. I mean, it's a decent following. I mean, she's won a Grammy, Crowder. She's won a Grammy. Would you get nominated for a Webby or whatever the hell it's called? Like, that's cool, but you don't have a Grammy.
Emmy, son. Yeah, you know you're going to downplay all my accomplishments. It's
no,
okay.
No, I'm not.
She actually all did right. not win a Grammy.
She's been nominated. Nominated
oh,
several
okay.
times.
All right, yeah, so she's
same
not.
Person.
This
she's
was her
Jenny
biggest
Crowder
performance
of country music.
Yeah, this was her biggest. It had to have been her biggest performance, and I can't imagine somebody who can't hit those notes goes out there to try to hit those notes. It makes no sense to me, you know, because people are saying she can't sing. But if you can't sing, then you record it, you lip sing, and whatever. You get the backlash for that. You don't go out there and try to hit notes that you can't hit.
Call Chardonnay. She won Ingrid last night. She was Merlot.
Man. Who's got the Listen, pressure of singing
that anthem when she's back? That return anthem,
oh.
huge. It's gonna be huge.
She gonna tear it up. Super Bowl.
Who's singing tonight's national anthem for the All-Star game at 8:00? That's a lot of pressure. Because
I'll find out. Yeah,
easy act to follow, but at the same time, you know,
right? I mean, you could literally go out there and do anything, and I think you're gonna be better than Ingrid Andress. let's do headlines here with Dan Day again. Crowder is in Davie. Appel is in Broward. I'm in Dallas today. Jimmy and Dan Day back at the studio. Headlines with Daniel Day.
Yeah, a couple of quick ones. Jaime Jaquez Jr. scored 23 points in 25 minutes last night. Khalil Ware added 11 points and 12 rebounds as the Heat murked the Thunder 102-73. Miami faces the Mavericks Wednesday at 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, so I texted Amy Audibert. She's out in Las Vegas. She's with Jason Jackson. I saw she took a picture with Will Manso and Gisella Spinalis as well. It's like the Miami contingent out there covering Summer League. So I texted Amy to see if she'll come on, and she hasn't gone back to me yet. But I'm hoping that's my broadcast partner, Amy Audibert. But I'm hoping she'll be able to join us at some point today so we can kind of get an update on what's happening at Summer League. That's going to be Triple J's last game with the Heat Summer League team, by the way. He played two games. He averaged 26 points. He balled yesterday. He's done with the Summer League.
Yeah, I think we saw all we needed to there.
Yeah.
25 minutes. All right, we're good.
Yeah, he's better than Bronny James. We're good. Sit him to the side.
Bronny James.
I'll be honest.
Well, I want to talk about this later in the next segment with you, Crowder, so I don't want to ruin it, but did you see Bronny played with the Lakers yesterday against the Celtics, and Jaylen Brown was courtside? Did you see this video that's going viral?
I did, and I saw exactly what he said, and I've been standing for weeks now, and y'all okay. argue with me. Are you going to argue with Jaylen?
Well, I'll That's argue with any Boston Celtic, period. But let's not ruin it. We'll get to that in the next segment. What else do you have, Dan?
Let's get to weather from the New Mesman and Dover Law Firm, your accidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It's mostly sunny and around 91 degrees with a chance of rain in South Florida.
Yeah, a couple other big headlines. I shouldn't say couple, but one other one. Inter Miami, Tata Martino, the head coach, he confirmed that Messi's going to miss at least the next two games for Inter Miami. And let's be real, he's probably going to miss a lot more than that. They play tomorrow against Toronto, Saturday against Chicago. He basically said, yeah, you all saw the pictures. His ankle's cooked. Suarez did return to training with them, and they released Inter Miami a new jersey called the Archive Collection, part of the MLS's Archive Collection, retro-inspired kits, Inter Miami, Galaxy, LAFC, Portland Timbers, and Sporting KC. And it looks to me like a nod. They're calling it Miami of the past, like a vintage feel, but it just kind of looks to me like a nod to vintage Miami Dolphins. So it's pretty cool. So if you haven't seen it, go ahead and check it out. All right, so coming up later today, we're going to talk a ton about the MLB All-Star Game. I'll kind of go through the new rules today. I shouldn't say a ton. We'll talk a little bit about it. But again, I'm out at SEC Media Days, and we're kind of just going to have fun today. That's the plan from 2 to 6. Just have a little bit of fun, shoot the bleep, and hopefully do a better performance from 2 to 6 than Ingrid Andres did yesterday, singing the national anthem at the Home Run Derby. Let's take a break. More Hockman and Crowder coming up after this break.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They might want to get Jerry Judy a different nickname.
Hawk and Crowder.
Hey, Dan, is Jimmy still picking the music?
Absolutely.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Was this Jimmy?
This
yep.
is Jimmy.
Good to see. Good to see you find a jersey that actually fits you, not an extra tight medium. Way to go!
It's a large.
It's a European large.
It is. Yeah, Jersey Tuesday out there. I'm in Dallas for SEC Media Days. So this is a story I wanted to get to. And actually, before I get to it, let me take care of some housekeeping. Classic rock band Styx and Foreigner will be at I Think Financial Amphitheater in West Palm this Friday. And you might win yourself in by going to WQAM.com/contests. And you can enter online. Tickets are courtesy of Live Nation. Again, go to WQAM.com/contests. You can enter online to see Styx and Foreigner. So yesterday, and Appel, I know you were on vacation for a little bit, but since the second Bronny James was drafted, Crowder has been very passionate about Bronny James not being an NBA caliber player. He's just I don't think it's fair to say you're rooting for him to fail, but you've been very adamant that you think he's going to fail.
Yes, it's just that he has his lore around him because his dad's LeBron James, and he's not that good. I've watched him play. You've seen the highlights. He was a 5-point guy at USC. I think he was the 7th highest scorer on USC. Like, he's just LeBron's son. And I don't know how that makes you an NBA player. I don't think it's going to work out.
So
that's kind of why I feel bad for him, though, because he's not asking to be LeBron's kid. He's you can only distance yourself so much from it. But like, he's being thrust into this situation because he's LeBron's kid. He didn't choose that. Like, and so I feel like he's kind of being put in an impossible spot. I agree with you, Crowder. He's not good enough. He needs to be in the G League for probably his entire career. I don't see him ever they may force him onto an NBA court, but like, this guy's not an NBA player. I agree with you. But I feel bad for him because he's being put in a spot that he didn't necessarily choose to be in.
Well, he got drafted higher than people better than him, and he got a fully guaranteed, $7 million as a second rounder, which doesn't happen.
Correct. Other than,
so I don't feel bad for him because he's now got drafted off his name and he's made money off his name. I don't feel bad for him. There's thousands of guys that left college last year and didn't touch the NBA and are now they're going to go work at Church's Chicken or something. At least Bronny has an opportunity to play in the G League. That's what, I don't feel sorry for him at all, to be honest.
Well, he's going to play in the NBA. So whether or not you think he deserves it, he's going to touch an NBA floor this year, at least in the first week of the season, because they already told us. Like, yeah, he'll go to the G League after LeBron and him get to share the court together and have that moment. But anyways, yesterday, Lakers played the Celtics in summer league action in Las Vegas, and Jaylen Brown was courtside. He was there with his girlfriend, and Angel Reese was there sitting next to Jaylen Brown as well. They were all there together. And there's a video that was reposted by ESPN, reposted by everybody, where you can clearly see Jaylen Brown turn to his girlfriend and Angel Reese, and he says, "I don't think Bronny is an NBA guy," is basically what he said. And you could make out the words perfectly. I mean, it's obvious what he said. And he's trying to do damage control on Twitter. So he like quote tweeted the video and he said, "It's a flex to have your son alongside you in the NBA. It reflects greatness and longevity. Bronny has all the tools around him to be successful. I look forward to watching his growth." But like, it's weird to say that after, and he's also kind of confirming what he said, which was, yeah, this kid's not an NBA player.
Well, it's funny because Crowder said before we went to break last segment, "I'm not going to argue with Jaylen Brown." It seems like Jaylen Brown is arguing with Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown doesn't want to fight LeBron at the Olympics somewhere. Hey, we all know it. Jaylen just said it. He got caught on camera. Come on now, Jaylen. Oh, yeah. The NBA Finals MVP, All-Star, just got $300 million. Yeah, I think he knows what basketball players look like at that level.
Yeah, but Derek White got chosen over him for Team USA. So what does this guy know? I mean, come on. Bro, it's funny to me, though, because he looks over and he's like, "I don't think this guy's going to be a pro." But then the second people know he said that, he's like, "Well, he has all the tools around him, so we'll see." It didn't look good yesterday. He went 1 of 5 shooting. He's 0 of 15 from 3-point range. 0 of 15 from 3-point range in his 4 summer league games thus far. So, like, this idea at least he'll be a 3-and-D player? I don't think so.
Yeah, what's he going to do? He was 1 for 5. I think the game before that, he was 1 for 8. Like, I can't score. He's not even hitting the rim. He did. He missed the rim. So, y'all are crazy.
There are props now on these sports betting apps for just will he or won't he make a 3. Just one.
If he had a smart coach, you should bet the no because he needs to stop shooting them. Hey, Bronny, get a little closer to the rim, brother.
He'll hit a 3.
It doesn't seem like you can hit the rim.
I'll bet that. What are the odds at it, Bell? Look him up. I'll bet that. He'll hit a 3. We'll hit one of them.
Before the end of his life?
No, like, stop.
How long is this window, Josh? This calendar year? How long
stop
is this
it,
window?
Stop it, man. Stop it. Yeah.
I know one thing. When they play that one Laker game, they better not let him shoot.
No, you've got to get the Bronny alley-oop pass to LeBron. So if he's got to play 48 minutes, they're going to let him do it. One alley-oop pass from Bronny to LeBron, and then you can ship him off wherever you want to ship him off to the G League, to wherever. Let him go play in the G League.
They should let him, what's it called, cherry picking. They should let him stay on the offensive side while the other team has the ball.
Right, just stand
just
here.
Throw it down.
Right, yeah. Stand here. We'll play 4-on-5, and then the second we can force a turnover, we'll throw it out to you, and you just throw it up to your dad. Just throw it up. We need that picture, Bronny. We need it.
They'll have him on a bus before the end of the game. Okay, thank you. Your time here is done.
Yeah, so the exact words, by the way, I just looked it up. He says, "I don't think Bronny's a pro." Yeah. Crowder, you're probably going to end up being right. You were wrong about Zion, I think, but you might end up being right. You might end up being right about this one.
Zion's going to play about 30 games a year and then get hurt.
Don't start.
Dan.
You played more games than Jimmy Butler did last year.
Hey, come on.
Wow.
Hey, leave my guy out. Everybody's taking shots around here. Hey, leave my guy out of this. What do you guys think Jimmy's going to play this year? Over, under 65 games?
Under.
Under.
Over.
Will Jimmy Butler be on the Miami Heat? Gut feeling today. What's today? July 15th. Will Jimmy Butler be on the Miami Heat to end the season?
Ooh. Yes. Yo. Because what, would they get something back for him? Because he's totally a free agent after next year, right?
Right. Well, I mean, he has a player option, so technically he could opt into it. But I think everybody is under the assumption that he's going to play this year where he's under contract. And then next year he's going to look for some sort of extension, whether or not it's in Miami. So if things go well, maybe the Heat want to sign him to another, you know, 2-3 year deal. But if not, he'll probably head somewhere else. This would be his last year in Miami.
I think this is his last year in Miami, but I think I'm with Josh. I think he's under because I don't think he's trying to impress that whole thing Pat Riley said about he needs to play more games. I don't think Jimmy's trying to go out to impress Pat Riley. But I also feel as if we need a new number one. Like, we had Wade for years. Now Jimmy took over and did a great job, Solon. I'm not saying Jimmy's bad. I think we need to reset that top of the roster. My thing been all offseason, well, you heard this, Josh, is Bam and them. That's where I want my team to be. Keep Bam. Go find some other pieces. But I want Bam and the rest of them.
You know, I don't know if it was on this show that somebody brought it up, but the one reason I could see Jimmy playing more than 65 games is because it's a contract year.
Right.
And he doesn't want to be going into free agency as someone for the second straight season plays in half the games. So I could see him try maybe on a night this year where he wasn't feeling 100%. He was like, I'm good. Might not be the case this upcoming season. I could see that happen.
That's the thing. Like, even if it's not going to end up being in Miami, Crowder, Jimmy Butler can't go out there and you know, kind of just look like the guy he did look like last season, which, by the way, wasn't bad. Like, it's not like Jimmy Butler looked washed last year, but there were frustrations. I mean, dude's playing or not playing, and then you see him that night at the Miami Open or the following night at the Miami Open. Like, I get those frustrations, but like Appel said, contract year, whether or not it's going to be in Miami, this is probably his last shot at getting a long-term deal, like a lucrative long-term deal. Somebody is going to want to pay him if he looks good, but if he doesn't, nobody's going to give him $50 million a year if he once again only plays 55, 60 games. So, like, that's the caveat, I think, here, where Jimmy Butler has to say, okay, maybe it's not about playing 72 games or 82 games. Maybe it's just about, you know, staying healthy. But it's got to be more than 60 games. It's got to be somewhere in that 65 to 70 games. It has to be. And I look back at this year, if he would have played in 65 games, the Heat aren't in the play-in tournament. You know? Yeah. That's all it would have taken. The Heat missed a top six seed by like a game and a half, two games. Had he played in four or five more games this year, the Heat are not a play-in tournament team. That has to factor into this. Some of what Pat Riley was saying had merit to it, because of that statement right there. Had Jimmy Butler played in five more, six more, seven more games, we could be talking about a totally different offseason for the Heat.
Somebody was talking about that. I don't know. I was on a plane somewhere. The eighth seed and the three seed in the East had four game difference.
Yeah.
The eighth and the three had a four game difference. And you have your number one, your best player, taking nights off. When you have a four game difference between sitting at home and having a week off, having 2 weeks off, whatever week and a half, and playing some little slappy McDougal Atlanta Hawks or something like that. Like, Jimmy's a part of that, and that's why Riley was frustrated. But I also don't think Jimmy gives a damn that Riley's frustrated. So this is the rock and the hard place we're sitting in.
Though I agree with that 100%. I don't think Jimmy Butler lost any sleep over Pat Riley to tell him to shut up. I don't think he lost any sleep at all. He's good.
He was hanging out with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. He was riding horses. Like Jimmy. I'm going to be the old guy. Is Jimmy really worried about basketball like he should be?
Put that on the blog commercial. Post. Put that on the blog post. Does Jimmy Butler still care about basketball? No, but he's 100%. He's 100% showing up to media day with some like new stunt, right? Like that. He's not putting that behind him. Yes. He's 100%. So we had Dredge Jimmy 2 years ago, which was hilarious. We had Emo Jimmy. I could imagine I could make the case like, okay, this could be his last year. Pat Riley had some strong statements to end the season. Maybe it's business this year. Like, it's just straight up business. But my guess is that won't be the case. Like, he's showing up in some sort of, I don't know, costume or something, right? There will be more Jimmy Butler antics at Media Day.
That's his gimmick at this point. He just does that. It's part of it's part of the Jimmy experience. If he doesn't, I'll tell you this. Yeah. If he doesn't show up in some kind of gimmick, then I'll start to worry a little.
Oh, because he's not having fun anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I like it. I want him to go with like a, be like a hobbit, like Frodo. Or maybe like a Targaryen with the white hair.
Ooh, yeah. That's good.
Daenerys Targaryen.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Send that to him.
What if he shows up as a furry?
The thing is that it's hilarious because the NBA has to use the media day pictures. So it really is just him trolling the NBA. But there could have been a bit more to do with it last year regarding, you know, things going on within the building as well. It's possible.
Do we think Jimmy watches Do we think Jimmy watches Game of Thrones or House of Dragon?
No. No.
Really? He sings weird. He does country music. He sings
he's not
emo
weird.
Music.
He's not weird.
He drinks coffee.
He's weird.
He's not weird. He's not. He's cool.
He's
like
weird.
He's got a lot of different hobbies. He's into a lot of things. He's not weird.
He's not weird.
Weird.
No, he's not weird. Jimmy Butler's not weird.
He's a 6'7" black dude that puts nose rings in and perms his hair and does country concerts. Son, he's weird. I like him, but he's weird.
Weird could be a good thing.
I use weird as a noun. He's a weird.
He's a weird.
No, I don't think he's weird. Like, I get what you're saying. He's unique. He's different. And yeah, I mean, the emo Jimmy thing was weird, but it was funny. To me, that's funny. But he, and to go back to the question, does he watch Game of Thrones? I don't think so. I sat down with him 2 years ago and I asked him, you know, do you cut a burger in half? He's like, I don't eat burgers. And I was like, do you call pizza za? He's like, no, nobody does that. And I don't eat pizza. Like, he is so regimented. I really think he wakes up, drinks coffee, plays dominoes, listens to music, and then goes to the gym, works out, plays tennis. Like, I think he's just super regimented all day. Like, he doesn't have time to watch Game of Thrones on HBO at night. Like, he's just not interested in that.
The weird thing is Solana believes Jimmy Butler wouldn't lie to him.
That's so true. I was thinking the same thing.
Jim Gray? I asked him a question, and he gave me an answer, and that's it.
Why would he lie? Wait. Why would he lie about cutting a burger in half? Like, why would he tell me I don't eat burgers if it was a lie? Why would he lie about that? That's a weird thing to lie about.
Crowder, they're coworkers, colleagues, close friends. Jimmy wouldn't lie to him, okay? They're like,
I'm not telling you we're close friends. I'm just saying, why would he lie about eating
Jimmy
burgers
Butler.
Or pizza?
Some media guy tells Jimmy Butler to walk into this broom closet. He walks in and sees you at 22 years old sitting around talking about Za. He doesn't want to talk to you. He's going to tell you whatever he wants to get the hell out of that broom closet.
I was going to say, he just doesn't want to talk.
We had a good time. I talked to him about soccer, about FIFA. We had a good time. We're buds. I told him Ira Winderman beat me in tennis, and I think he lost all respect for me at that very moment. Ira?
Well.
Yeah. All right. Enough of you.
Never eaten a burger.
Enough of you guys. Well, why would he lie? Why would he lie about that, Crowder? Why would he lie about that?
Because he doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants to end that conversation. That's why.
Exactly. Because then, you know, he opens himself up to follow-up questions from you.
Well, yeah, it's an interview. Like, yes, you're right. I'm asking him a question. There's going to be a follow-up depending on your answer. Yeah, it's an interview. Yes, that's exactly how an interview works, Appel. Thank you very much for breaking that down for us. 3 o'clock, I'm done with this conversation.
He was trying to get out the broom closet with the little weird boy. Said whatever he needed to get out that closet.
3 o'clock hour is coming up. Still a lot to get to. Again, I'm in Dallas for SEC Media Days. I had Whataburger yesterday for the very first time. I will give my full review coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. More Hockman and Crowder after this break.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You ever seen a brown nipple?
In person?
Hawk and Crowder.